Good morning, Midland First. It is good to be with you. My name is Jeremy Africa, and as the lead pastor here at Midland First, and on behalf of all who are helping to lead worship this morning, we welcome you to our time together. As we begin our time, I wish to invite you to be mindful of all that's going on in the life of the church as we continue our mission of helping people to know, love, and share Jesus Christ. And I want to highlight a few goings on in our church. And for the first one, I'm going to invite you to either look at the pool side or the garden side. See if you notice anything different here in our sanctuary. It's kind of like the old highlights, right? If you're noticing the speakers, you'll note that our planned upgrade of the sound system here in the sanctuary is now taking place. If you're hearing an improvement with this new sound system, it will even get better because we are not yet using those speakers. But we're excited that that is taking place, mindful that a good deal of this project has been paid for through our memorial fund and also through our general fund, through the designated budget or the operating budget of our facilities team. If you wish to give towards the sound system upgrade, invite you to do so by placing your gift in the offering plate or mailing it into the church office. You can do so by placing sound system in the memo line of your check. As with all the ways that you provide in our part of the mission and life of the church, we thank you for your ongoing support and participation in the church. Also want to highlight a celebration that took place earlier today at our 9 a.m. service. We honored Reverend Mike Luce alongside his wife Janet for their ministry among us. If Pastor Mike looks familiar, that is because he has served for the past 4 years as our member care liaison pastor, which meant he was responsible for the caring of many of our homebound members, members who were hospitalized, members who experienced loss. Pastor Mike had the charge of caring for them. We're grateful for Pastor Mike and Jan's continued presence with us, and hope that you've had opportunity to express your gratitude for his ministry among us. If not, we certainly encourage you to do so as time allows. But with all this, I'm going to point your direction otherwise to our weekly e-blast that you will receive in your email. It has all the goings-on of our church. If you aren't yet receiving those, invite you to contact the church office, and we would be happy to add you to our weekly mailing list. But with all this, let us stand for our opening songs as we worship our living God.
Forgive my heart is satisfied. when we come to church on Sunday, sometimes we come with a mindset that we've got it all together. I will freely admit that was not me this morning. But we are always reminded that no matter where we are, and no matter what state of mind we're in, we really do need the Lord walking with us to show us the way that He would like us to be walking. And when life is busy and hectic, to be able to help us to find peace.
With all you, I fall. children come forward, please? So, good morning. So good to see everybody. So, as we were singing about needing Jesus, we've talked about that in Sunday school. And we learned to do something when we feel like we need Jesus to help him feel closer. Does anybody remember what that was? That's right, and maybe everybody in the congregation would like to join us. We're going to trace a cross in our palm, and then we're going to close our hand. And that helps us remember that Jesus is right with us. Thumbs up to that. That's right, Violet. So today in Sunday school, we're going to talk about sharing God's love. So how many people can love Jesus? Everyone. Who can serve Jesus?
Everyone.
All of us, that's right. Who of us has shared God's love with others? Raise your hand. Yes, absolutely. We can help everyone know about Jesus and God's love. Everyone can share God's love. We are Team Jesus. Yeah. Who is on God's team? Yeah. And what do we do on God's team? Praise him. Worship him. Love him. Serve him. Yep. Or his people. So we are going to do a different kind of prayer today, and I would like to invite the congregation to join us. I'm going to read one line of the prayer at a time, and then the children and congregation will say with enthusiasm, "We can do it." Are we got that? Let's practice. We can do it. Okay. Oh, loving God. Even though we are young,
we can do it.
Even though we are still learning how to follow you,
we can do it.
We can stomp out our stumbling blocks.
We can do it.
We can stay salty.
We can do it.
Did you guys know you were salty? We're going to find out more. We can live at peace with one another.
We can do it.
We can help the little ones grow in faith.
We can do it.
We can share your love with everyone.
We can do it.
Amen. Good job, guys.
Amen. You know, I noticed when Hillary had us pray that even though we are young, our we was much more enthusiastic. We all enjoy relating with our children and being young at heart. Amen. So something new that we are doing here at the 11 o'clock service is for those who wish to do so, we're inviting you to come forward during the offering time as an act of worship. Sometimes it's nice to physically respond to God in worship. And so if you wish, you can drop off your offering or your tithes in the offering plate. And we're mindful that we have different giving patterns here at the church, and some of us choose to give electronically. So perhaps you wish to come forward and you don't have an offering to place in the plate. Know that you're invited to come forward and touch the plate as well, because everything that we do throughout the week is an offering to God. So we might be caring for a parent, and that would be an offering to God. We might be at work in a classroom of freshmen, That is an offering to God. You know, we might be like Alec in kindergarten, or at least wish we were still in kindergarten, and draw a cross in our palm and know that Jesus is with us. And that simple act is an offering to God. And so as we have this time of giving, I invite you to come forward if you wish. Place your offering in the plate. Or if you have something in mind this week that you wish to offer as an offering to God, we invite you to come forward during this time. Pray. Indeed, O Lord, we do want to thank you. We're mindful of the love and blessings that you pour into our lives. And Lord, with all that we do, not just in this hour of worship, but in our lives and in our coming and going, may our lives be an offering to you in which we say thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning is Mark chapter 9, verses 38 through 50. And if you wish, I invite you to open up your Bibles to this or your Bible app, if that is how you're reading your Bible. If you're using the Pew Bibles, it's on page 42 of the New Testament. And today I'm reading from the New Living Translation. John said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone using your name to cast out demons, but we told him to stop because he wasn't in our group." "Don't stop him," Jesus said. "No one who performs a miracle in my name will soon be able to speak evil of me. Anyone who is not against us is for us. If anyone gives you even a cup of water because you belong to the Messiah, I tell you the truth, that person will surely be rewarded. But if you cause one of these little ones who trust in me to fall into sin, it would be better for you to be thrown into the sea with a large millstone hung around your neck. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better to enter eternal life with only one hand than to go into the unquenchable fires of hell with two hands. If your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better to enter eternal life with only one foot than to be thrown into hell with two feet. And if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. It's better to enter the kingdom of God with only one eye than to have two eyes and to be thrown into hell, where the maggots never die and the fire never goes out. For everyone will be tested with fire. Salt is good for seasoning, but if it loses its flavor, how do you make it salty again? You must have the qualities of salt among yourselves and live in peace with each other." May God grant God's blessing to the reading of God's word. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. As a high school student, I had a blemish, a pimple, if you will. All right, if we're really getting at it, it was a zit. So we call it by its common name out in the wild. Now, that fact that I had a blemish in and of itself hardly bears any mentioning. I was not the first teenager, nor will I be the last that had to endure the trials and tribulations of acne in high school. But what makes this blemish, what makes this pimple or zit so notable, is that it was a sort of perfect storm of blemishes. It was as if several blemishes that were formidable in their own right, somehow they all came together and they rested upon the tip of my nose. In case you're wondering, am I just embellishing things for this morning? I have a friend who's known me since the eighth grade, and several decades after this blemish, he remembered this particular one. And what makes this so memorable to me is not so much its location or its enormity. Instead, what stands out in my mind is that I can't remember a single classmate, friend or foe, who said anything about it. Now, without a doubt, some did so out of kindness, recognizing it must have been difficult to be in my shoes, to walk around with this boiling tempest, with this emerging friend on the tip of my nose. But I also imagine that some of my classmates didn't say anything out of fear, because they knew the real possibility that if they were to point out the perfect storm on my nose, what would I have done in response? I likely would have pointed to the storm front that was gathering on their own forehead or on their cheek. And so for however many days or weeks it took for this storm to pass, as they always do, it's hard to remind our youth who are in high school, this too shall pass. But for however long it took for that to happen, it went unmentioned by all my friends and possible foes. I bring all this up today because it seems to me that that is exactly how we as Christ followers today, how we as the church today, sometimes handle the presence of our debts or our trespasses or our sins, if we refer to them by their more common name in the wild. It's almost as if we have taken Jesus' remarks in the Gospel of Matthew and Luke about specks and planks and have taken them in a whole other direction, a different direction that Jesus intends. Because whereas Jesus is talking about specks and planks in our eyes, is addressing the issue of hypocrisy, it seems that we have strayed from Jesus' teaching here, going to the extreme of turning a blind eye to our human nature. Turning a blind eye to what Paul says, that all have sinned and done what? Fallen short of the glory of God. Whether in our individual lives or perhaps even in our life together as the church, there's something uncomfortable about talking about sin. I mentioned to somebody after the first service that, boy, reading this passage in the privacy of my office or at the parsonage was a lot different than reading it aloud in our sanctuary. So let me ask you, does it make you uncomfortable for us to dwell on sin? Had you had enough advance warning and you read thoroughly through your e-blast and saw what the scripture passage was going to be, would you have preferred to walk out with our children to Sunday school rather than be here? If in your mind there's a little bit that's nodding your head, know that my head is nodding also. This is a difficult topic, if not the word alone is uncomfortable. But with acknowledging this, with this being said, Jesus leaves no room for us to maintain the status quo or to be complicit in silence when it comes to sin in our lives, when it comes to straying from God's best or God's prescribed path for us. In fact, Jesus' lessons on sin that we just heard from Mark chapter 9 is the complete opposite, in some ways, of staying silent. His lessons here are unmistakably memorable. They are vivid, and at first blush, they are very harsh. They are this way not because Jesus lacks compassion or understanding, but instead, I believe Jesus' lessons regarding the things that cause us to stumble or the things that cause us to fall away or the things that lead us off the path, I believe that they are this way because he knows. Because Jesus knows not just of our human nature, but also Jesus knows of the life that God offers us. A life abundant when we follow God's path. And this is why I believe Jesus teaches about sin in this way. Now, it's worth mentioning that Jesus did not intend for his words here to be taken literally. When Jesus talks about cutting off hands and feet or gouging out eyes, Jesus doesn't intend for us to act on these instructions in a literal way. Instead, as one scholar suggests, given the, quote, indispensable nature of our hands, feet, and eyes, this is an indication of how seriously we are to receive Jesus' lessons about sin. So we have to be careful how we read the Bible, yes? A decade or so ago, when my primary focus was in youth ministry, there was a series of books used by many in youth ministry, and they were entitled, Would You Rather? Right? Would You Rather? This was before the prevalence of smartphones and, you know, being connected to the world 24/7 and being able to play your curated playlist on Spotify or YouTube or Apple Music on end, right? This was that time, decade or whatnot. And so we would have these books with us if we had a longer trip to take. So let's say we're taking a group on mission trip, or let's say we were going to a weekend retreat an hour or two away, we would have these books on hand to spark a little bit of conversation in the car. And so this book was filled with simple and quirky questions meant to inject a conversation in a car full of youth or a room full of youth, however it might be. So for example, you might get the question or come across the question, would you rather be gossiped about or lied to? All right, well, let's play along. We can pretend we're in our 15-passenger van. Would you rather be gossiped to? Anyone? No? Okay, a few of us. How about lied to? Anyone prefer to be lied to? All right. Some of us might be a little reluctant to play along. That's all right. Would you prefer to get shot out of a cannon or walk a tightrope? Anyone a tightrope walker among us? Definitely not me, okay? Even with safety harness and all. Anybody wish to be shot out of a cannon? Anyone going for C, neither? Okay, all right. That's me. Would you rather make a child cry or kick a dog? Do not answer. Don't answer. Don't answer that one. But there's hundreds of questions like this in this book. And I'm reminded of all this by Jesus' lesson on sin, because in Jesus' lesson, Jesus seems to be asking us the same question. Would you rather? Would you rather? Would you rather cut off the hand, foot, or gouge out the eye that is causing you to sin? Would you rather cut whatever is causing you to stumble out of your life? Or would you rather have that while entering the unquenchable fires of judgment or of hell? Or put another way, would you rather remain entangled with that which is causing you to stumble? That is causing you to live short of God's best for you? Or would you rather cut yourself free from it and experience the abundant life God has for us, not just in the life to come, but in life today? Would you rather? Would you rather stay entangled or live free? As one Bible commentary puts it, it's often the good which is the enemy of the best. It is often the good which is the enemy of the best. In other words, While we might do so unwittingly, we give up God's best for us in favor of what we might think is good. So the question that Jesus asks is, would you rather? When put in that way, the question seems somewhat simple. Yet our experiences, or at least my experiences and my responses at times, would seem to indicate otherwise. In considering all this, it might help us to consider the following definition of sin, or framework by which we can look at sin. Susan Cottrell offers in her book, The Heart-Connected Life for Parents. In her book, she defines sin in this way. Sin is an illegitimate means to meet legitimate needs. Think about that for a second. Sin can be defined as an illegitimate means to meet legitimate needs. So, for example, our need to be connected, our need to be accepted, our need to be known is legitimate. In fact, in some ways, we celebrated that as a community across our county with Neighboring Week. Many of us learned throughout the pandemic, throughout the last 4 years, how important it is to live connected lives. That's a legitimate need. However, being the best source of neighborly gossip to meet this need is illegitimate. Or how about our need to be valued and respected for the work that we do? Right? Whether it's within a large company, whether it's within a smaller nonprofit, whether even within the church, right? We all value being seen. That is legitimate. But securing this need by demeaning others to make us look better, to prop us up, to act like crabs in a bushel, and pulling everyone down so we might get on top, is illegitimate. Or how about our need to worship, right? We legitimize that need each week when we take up a rhythm that God has prescribed for us, when we gather for worship, or when we find our individual ways throughout the week to worship God. Maybe it's singing in our cars at the top of our lungs to a song that we hear in our vehicles, right? Anyone in a closet praise song leader? Okay. I mean, you know, drive on 10 and the sky is blue and you sound fantastic within the acoustic of your cars, right? And there's just like this praise that comes out, right? That is part of how we're wired. That's a legitimate need. But satisfying this need by worshiping anyone or anything other than God, when we worship anything other than God, when we satisfy that need to worship with anything or anyone else than God, that is illegitimate. Sin is an illegitimate means to meet legitimate needs. So in the coming week, with Jesus' lessons and this working definition of sin, I invite each of us to consider, what are the sins that I've allowed to take a foothold in my life? Right? What have I allowed, whether knowingly or not, those illegitimate means through which I meet legitimate needs? And secondly, faced with this reality, perhaps we might ask ourselves a question. Would I rather? Would I rather hold on to my way of trying to meet those needs? Or would I rather let go for God's way? Would I rather remain entangled in what I'm doing? Or am I willing to share in the work of cutting myself free? When it comes down to it, would I rather dwell in the darkness of my denial or step into the light of God's grace? All the while, as we wrestle with these simple questions, let us remember and let us never forget that God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved, may be set free through him. Amen. Amen. As we gather for our time of prayer together, I invited us to extend our sympathies and prayers to a number of families of the congregation. We extend our sympathies and prayers to the family and friends of Cal Schneider, husband of Marilyn, who passed away on September 18th. So it's Cal who passed away. And we also extend our sympathies and prayers to the family and friends of Catherine Marie Yarger Mellons, the sister of Chad and Lynn Yarger, who are members of our congregation, who passed away on September 21st. And so we extend our sympathies to Chad and Lynn. Also, as we pray, let us be mindful of those who have been or are in the path of this latest hurricane. We do know that a good number have lost their lives throughout the five states in the southeastern portion of our country. We're mindful of the destructive forces of nature and disruption to life that many are experiencing, indeed the loss of power for millions. And so as we gather for prayer, let us be mindful of them as well. Let us pray. Almighty and loving God, having sent your Son, Jesus Christ, you know what it is to walk this world. You know the conditions of our hearts. And indeed, O Lord, you know, having been created in your image, you know why it is we sing your praises. You know why it is we seek to deepen our roots into your love. You know why it is that our hearts are open to connecting with and serving our neighbors. And at the same time, O Lord, you know how easy it is for us to stumble and for us to fall and for us to give up your very best for what seems good. For those times and for those ways, we are sorry. We pray that you forgive us. We pray that you would save us from our own ways. We pray that you would do that good work of leading us from temptation. We pray that you would do that good work of making us new again. We pray, O Lord, that we might know the joy of our salvation. Yes, in the life to come, but in our lives today. Do this through your perfecting love, O Lord, and remind us on this journey that we are still loved by you, that you still call us your own, and that you died for us even while we were sinners. For this grace, we give you thanks and pray for this work in our lives and in our church. And Lord, as we come to you in prayer this day, we pray for Marilyn and their family as they grieve the passing of Cal. We also pray for Chad and Lynn Yarger, for the passing of Chad's sister, Catherine. Lord, walk upon this path that they share as a family, and that they share with you. Comfort them and give them your assurance of eternal life. And as we gather in prayer, O Lord, we pray for our nation, specifically those, O Lord, who have been in the path of Hurricane Helene. We take a moment of pause to pray for those who have lost their life and their loved ones, knowing that each life is sacred. We pray for those who have once again find themselves in the path of a destructive storm, whose lives are disrupted. We pray for those who will be coming to help. We pray for the church. We pray for our government. And those who will be hands-on in offering acts of mercy. Make straight their path, O Lord. And may we once again be witnesses to your restoring power. Lord, all of this we pray, knowing that you are good, knowing of the very best you offer us, and seeking that in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name, as we pray the prayer that he has taught us, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Friends, I invite you to stand for our last song today as we leave this place. I hope the title of this song will be the same feeling that you are leaving with today. This song is called Joy.
Be still.
I appreciated Pastor Mike. He shared at the first service that everything he did in ministry was a reflection of what God has done in his life. And I was mindful during the service that I'm in the same boat. I'm standing where I stand not because I have all this figured out or because my life is free of blemishes, not just the high school kind. And I hope that everything I do in ministry is like Pastor Mike because of this grace I know. Because I've seen the ability of grace to set me free and to live joyfully and to live untangled. So may we look for this grace and not settle for what is good, but live after the very best God has for us. Amen. Amen.